You know what? I sent you a question, a list of topics, Errol, but I think that's going to be the first thing. How do you get your lighting set up to be so darn good?
I started this with no knowledge of cameras or lighting or anything, and it was just try something new every couple of weeks until I was happy with it. Had to learn a lot about ISO and F3.5 and all sorts of fun camera stuff, and just kept trying new things until it looked good. Honestly, it's not a professional in any capacity.
How many lights do you have, if you don't mind me asking?
Honestly, well, besides the background stuff, I have one light here and one light here, and they're like studio lights, as it were, but just cheap stuff from Amazon.
Really? Okay, so I bought a little here. Bought this glow lamp, okay? Which I hope to set up somewhere in my background. I don't know where yet, especially since I'm standing now. But I also want to get that outline that you have there. Is that just like stuck to the wall, like with tape or
No, it's
something?
actually the green light is right behind me, and it kind of faces up towards the whole wall. And then this is just a string light basically that's over here to kind of give a different color than I get on me, which is like a beige sort of light. The key is not having big light everywhere. It's having some light where you want it to be. And I can tell you
Perfect.
have an overhead light.
Oh, I most definitely have an overhead light, and I'm closer to it than ever before since I'm standing. So it's very apparent. I'll make some alterations as we move throughout the year. So I'll buy a few more things, and I'll get better. I promise. I promise. All right, man. Well, Path of Exile 2. How has it been going? I looked at your channel today because I was like, I haven't seen Arrow on YouTube in the last while. The last video you posted was your ice shot Deadeye, which I thought for a moment, did he go back to Path of Exile 1? Is he posting Path of Exile 1 videos? But no, it's a Path of Exile 2 build. How have you been enjoying it, man?
I am loving BOE2, and kind of the more I get into it, the more I feel like I wish we had more stuff. Because I'm kind of running into the situation of, oh, that's already been done. Oh, that's already been done. And I'm kind of, I don't want to call myself an innovator because that sounds pretentious, but I like to do stuff that's new. Even if it's not the best, it doesn't have to be a meta shaking thing. I just like to discover things because that's what's fun for me. I've been playing this game for a long time, and I feel like I'm already running into a lot of walls where the obvious way to do things has kind of been figured out. You have a lot of obvious damage scaling methods, and then you have obvious ones that simply don't work. So definitely running into a lot of walls, but I think the game is unbelievable. It's better than I expected. And I'm really looking forward to getting all of the content they're going to add over the next year. Well, my guess is year and a half, but I don't
Yeah, so
want to be a doomer.
do you think they're gonna push back the whole, oh, we want to get it out in 2025?
I don't think there's any chance at this point. I really don't. I was when they said 6 months, Jonathan said 6 months, no more than a year. I immediately went, all right, so a year. And then I thought, they're probably going to get most of the stuff out in a year. And then probably spring or summer next year we'll get the full release. But I'm okay with that. Do it right instead of, just throwing whatever out there because you want the game to be done by a certain time.
What is it? A rushed game is forever bad, but a delayed game is eventually good, right? I mean, come on. Let them cook. They've already. Did you see on the Path of Exile subreddit the
No.
dude who designed? Oh, you don't go there anymore. Okay. I still.
Avoid it as much as I can.
I venture there, but if I ever see like a content creator's name or YouTube, I just stay away from that thread. But I saw the coolest little post. It was at the top of the Path of Exile subreddit yesterday. The person who designed the Act One final boss concept art, Geonor, Count Geonor, designed it in 2016 for Grinding Gear Games. 2016, 9 years ago, dude. So they have no, so maybe, I don't know if it was a boss concept for pre-PUE2, or if they really were starting to work on PUE2 all the way back in 2016. That's way earlier than I first thought. I thought it was 2018. But this guy came. I almost want to ask Grinding Gear Games that. Like, oh my gosh, this concept artist who's a freelancer is saying,
Well,
yeah, I made the Act One boss in 2016.
they do say, or they have said that they just kind of make stuff. They have their artists make stuff, and then they find a use for it later. So they just have this folder of bosses and enemies and zones that they can kind of pluck from, which makes it a little bit easier to build all the different things that they've built.
That might be exactly what it is. And if so, wow, they stumbled upon the perfect final boss for Act 1, dude. Have you fought like all the bosses in the game yet, including the Arbiter of Ash, or just the usual bosses?
No, so my journey has been a little unfortunate. I played a bugged build, and then I played a build that got nerfed, and another bugged build, and I've just been leveling character after character. So I haven't pushed too much into the end game. I fought Ulroth a bunch. I've done a bunch of expedition. And then I was on vacation for a week, so I'm a little bit behind right now. The blasters, but I've done a lot of it.
Okay, of that batch of all the bosses you fought, including Ulroth, do you have one that stands out in particular?
I really do love the story bosses so much, and I think they fit into the end game really well. It's a little bit annoying when they're like, you kind of expect something from them because you fought them a bunch of times in the story, and then they're faster or they have a new mechanic, and then you die, and I'll see you in 40 hours.
Right, so right.
I don't feel like I can practice them, which is a little frustrating. It's also pushed me away from some of the more difficult bosses. It's like I could sell these fragments for 3 divines, or I can, you know, die in the first phase and not learn the fight. So I'm just waiting till I have a more powerful character for it. I'm having a lot of fun in maps, having a lot of fun leveling characters, and so we're going to keep doing that.
Ooh, okay. So I wanted to start the chat talking about the most top-of-mind issues for Grinding Gear games right now, or things to address, right? The frustrations from the player base. But I'm going to nix that, and I want to pin in on what you just said, Arrow. You're enjoying the end game? Okay, I'm rolling my sleeves up because I disagree with you. Why do you like the end game of PoE 2 right now? I'm very curious because I don't. I'll be honest. I don't like it.
There are plenty of things that I could tell you about the end game that I don't like. So it's not that I'm just, you know, rose-colored glasses and everything's wonderful, but I really do like the Atlas tree, the new system. I like exploring rather than, I mean, I've been playing PoE for so long the same way, where I put 144 maps into a tab. I roll them all, Alk, Val, Chisel, get all my Scarabs, get all my Sextants, and then just turn my brain off and go. And I've always really liked that. But it's because I think I didn't know what I was missing with something more interesting. I think the new Atlas is much more interesting. And when they fully flesh it out, it will be, I think, significantly better than just running the same map over and over again until you burn out.
See, you're swaying the heart of a doomer, because when you were talking about laying out all your maps in a map tab, and it felt a little icky. Like it wasn't a good shutter. It was a bad shutter, you know, like a spider crawling along the backside of my back. Like, ooh, you are right. I think I'm just jaded because I blasted for the first few weeks of early access. Like, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to go so hard. I'm going to play my monk. I'm going to get high level. I'm going to fight the end game boss with my self-made build. And I got to the max tier of maps and I just can't find citadels, and I'm just not gonna fight the end game boss, and it's like my time is going like this, the time amount, because I usually, like in Path of Exile 1, I can dedicate, you know, those first few weeks I play quite a bit, and then it's like, okay, all right, back to the real world, back to doing a lot of, you know, stuff with work and with my family and that, all this other stuff, right? And I'm at that point with PoE 2 where it's like, okay, I gotta chill out, you know. And I didn't get to reach that goal point for myself because of the current design of the systems. That I think that's just made me feel a little jaded on the inside. No.
I think part of that was they wanted to draw out the end game a little bit more and not make it feel like you did everything in the first 4 days and then you go into mapping mode and just run the same map over and over again. It was more long sort of chases. Now, I don't necessarily agree with how long it takes to find citadels, but we also don't know how to find them yet.
Yeah, corpses. What are you talking about?
Every single day, someone comes into my channel and says, I've got it. Here, watch this video. I saw a pretty convincing one from a viewer today that basically just said, complete maps. The more maps you complete inside the fog, the more likely you are to find a citadel when you get out of the fog. And I did that over the last couple of days. I leveled a new character, and I have found this to be the case. I level a new character, and then when I get to maps, I don't, you know, I just kind of run whatever's around. I run all the bad maps just to get some experience and get the, you know, get the character leveled up. And then once I got to tier 15s, I started pushing out into the fog, and lo and behold, I found like five or six citadels in 2 days. Of not really pushing very hard. So, I don't know. We don't know how to find them yet. I think that's the biggest problem. Once we know how to find them, it's not going to feel like this crazy grind. You're just going to do what you're supposed to do.
And you know what pisses me off at myself, even? We went into early access, and I was one of the biggest proponents of this, saying everything is going to be new and we're going to discover things and it's going to be fun because we don't know anything. We're in this spot where I don't think we know it either. We just don't know how to find this poor endgame system that everybody is chasing, or it's RNG. And if there is a method, man, I'm going to have so much egg on my face for just being like, you know, man, grinding your games, just put this RNG system in the game. And all along, there was just something that we were supposed to do, and we just didn't see it. I think there is a chance that that is actually the case, or it's as simple as you're saying, where you just extend outward, and you just keep going into the fog. And a lot of people, you know, they get focused on juicing maps and running the towers and then going in a circle, all the maps they juice and all that, right? So maybe that's what it is. It's a really curious topic. I love to draw a contrast between Path of Exile 2 and Path of Exile 1. And honestly, I think I like the Atlas of Path of Exile 2 better. But damn, if I do not miss the deterministic Searing Exarch and Eater of Worlds storyline, where it's like, okay, I know this is what I have to do to reach those bosses. I hope they do something like that with the Arbiter of Ash or any other bosses that they add. Would you prefer something like that? Or are you looking for something that's just different and out there? A little bit more along the lines of what we have. Or something like from PoE1.
I think everything being RNG or feeling like RNG is probably not a good thing. So, I mean, we have, you know, Breach, you get one splinter at a time. I have to just pause on this for 1 second. Jonathan explicitly said that we are not going to have to click one splinter at a time. And every single map I open with a Breach, I do the same thing. And I joke about the splinters. It is exhausting. And I love Breach, and it makes it so unfun. It takes longer to loot, you know, 10 exalts worth of loot than it does to run the Breach itself.
Yep.
Really want to get past that. But it is a pseudo, I guess, strict way to get to an endgame boss. So there is some of that, but I think it's really important to have steps to get to endgame content and not feel like you're just chasing and hoping to get lucky, because the whole game is about getting lucky. Every drop on the ground you hope is lucky. So it feels good to have some sort of incremental steps to get towards the endgame content, particularly with how rewarding it can be and, you know, how challenging it can be in one portal, to feel like it's just a random chance to find a citadel. And then if you make one mistake, you're on the hunt again. I think that doesn't feel great.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore. That has happened to me. I made one mistake and I died, lost the citadel, rip. And for a casual player like myself, I feel like I've been filtered out of fighting those bosses. And I really hate feeling that way, especially if I've spent, like, I think I've played 120 hours of the game so far, and that was my sole goal. And I feel like if I've spent all that time really trying to push there, and I've spent 30 hours at endgame at T15s really trying to get that I should be able to attain it. So I hope that they don't see that sort of content as aspirational. I'm more of the opinion that the tier 4 versions of the Arbiter of Ash, yeah, that's aspirational. The T0, the quest version, the easy guy, and I say easy in quotations because I've heard that that boss is freaking brutal. I still think I should be able to get an attempt at him. so I can just get one shot and, you know, just nope out of the game for a few months.
I would like to briefly touch on aspirational content.
Go for
it. I think we've realized over the last couple of years that doesn't exist. Path of Exile players don't want to be like, oh, that stuff? I don't want to do that. That's too rewarding and challenging. Nobody wants that. Even very casual players are not like, oh, I don't care about that content. It's simply aspirational. So imagine, you know, the blasters are obviously not thinking that. I think they need to kind of reframe a little bit how they think about the most challenging stuff in the game. And I don't think that calling anything aspirational in PoE makes any sense, because we're all trying to do as much as we can. And mm-hmm. Now, some people have a goal. I just want to get to maps and whatever. But I think the vast majority of actual players of the game that are regular players of the game, they want to try to do everything. And aspirational just kind of suggests that it's not part of the game, I guess. It's not part of the gameplay loop. So I don't know. I don't think anything should be called aspirational. I think you should try to do everything, and people want to try to do everything.
Especially, and I'll support you on that argument a little bit, especially if Grinding Gear Games explicitly says, this is the best content in the game, the most fun content, this is what we're most looking forward to sharing with all of you, and then we're not able to interact with it. I'm mostly touching on bosses. You know, every single time I interviewed Jonathan, every single time he was interviewed by a media outlet, I would always try to put in that question, like, let's see if it's changed, maybe he has a different answer. What is the coolest thing about Path of Exile 2? I'll rephrase it in as many ways as I can, but what's the coolest thing? Oh, it's the bosses. It's the bosses. And then I feel like I get to the end game and I stop fighting the bosses. Dang it. Come on. Come on, GGG.
You want to fight them, just start a new character and then you get to fight them all again.
And bro, and that's what I'm doing. Literally, I made a post. I'm like, you know what? I think the end game, I'm just done for now. I'm just going to make a new character. I'm trying hardcore Arrow. I can do it.
Good luck.
Right? Yeah. You think so? Do you think you could do hardcore through the campaign?
Oh, I definitely could. I don't enjoy the playstyle as much. Like anybody who's watched my stream and watched one of my hardcore runs, they see, you know, every time I play hardcore, I'm deathless till, you know, late 80s or 90s. And it just takes forever. I just have to play the game so differently that I don't really enjoy it. It's not necessarily, this is going to sound elitist, it's not harder, it's just different. If you play hardcore the way you play softcore, it's going to be a lot harder because you're going to be constantly up against the edge of death. But if you build your characters defensively and you play defensively and you're not shield charging through packs like I always do in softcore, then it's really not that challenging. It becomes more about, okay, did I read all the mods? Did I pay attention to, as I progress, like, you really should have corrupted blood immunity by now. Do I have it? Those sort of checks are what hardcore is all about. And of course, it's about, you know, making good builds, but it really is just a different play style. And I don't particularly enjoy it. Now, I'm not a great hardcore player because I don't know nearly as much about the game as I should to play hardcore, because I'm not regularly being tested by a blue mob with a particular mod on it that, like, you know, negates something about my defense. I just don't think about it. I blast and I go. So hardcore is cool. I like to do it every once in a while to kind of prove to myself that I can. But I just don't enjoy playing slower. And I also am not the type of person that wants to race. Hardcore racing, that's hard. For me, I'm not racing. Again, I feel like I need to, like, really clamp down on what I'm trying to say here. Not that hardcore is easy. If I'm trying to race, I would die in act one every time because I would do too much. But the way I play hardcore when I play it is really slow and it's just kind of boring to me.
Yeah, succinctly, it's just punishing and it's time consuming. It is, because you have to be so much more careful with everything. And as a result, that can be more tiring. Just like grind your gears and like make you like, I don't know if I really enjoy this. This isn't really fun. Which is why I'm curious. Does this translate the end game of Path of Exile 2 at all for you with the one portal? Like, it's pseudo hardcore, right? You get one go. If you're blasting and you just die because you shield charge into a pack of, I don't know, ice explosions or shock explosions, something, you know, you get that feeling a little bit. Have you felt that frustrate you, or is it, a little bit more rewarding if you're able to overcome that map and the monsters and get through with a load of exalts and whatever else you find.
I think it's a bit of both. I find more reward in this playstyle, but I don't think I like it as much. Yeah. I have been a blaster for so long where I like to just kind of shut my brain off for a while. You can't really do that in PoE 2, particularly as a streamer. I can't read chat as aggressively as I would in PoE 1 because I die a lot from reading chat. You look away and you run to the center of a pack, you're just dead. You don't have, well, I mean, some builds do. There are some very, very tanky builds, but most builds don't have the ability to just kind of phase tank when you're, you know, even just in like a regular map. So you really got to be paying attention, and it is a bit exhausting.
Yeah, I had an idea bubble pop into my head while I was doing some stupid spreadsheets today. I also greatly dislike the current one portal meta that they've implemented, not meta, gameplay system that they've implemented here, because in Path of Exile 2's endgame, it translates so quickly, or transports so quickly into Path of Exile 1 endgame, where you are zooming a lot of the time. You're going pretty fast. You know, the breaches are opening up, the rituals, the delirium, you're moving between packs, stuff is flying everywhere. You're going. If it was more along the cadence of the PoE2 campaign, where it is more methodical, and you can actually choose your battles, and you're having skirmishes against packs, you know, the way of Path of Exile 2 was sold to many, I think I'd be fine with the WEN portal because I could probably play around it. But in this, like, I'm incentivized to move quick. Moving quick gets me killed a lot of the time because there's lots of stuff happening on screen. And most of the time I die, it's to a whole bunch of little explosions on the ground that I just don't see. I guess there's a bug where if you shatter an enemy, their on-death explosion doesn't show sometimes with the monk's the charge staff. So you just like insta-die. It's so funny. It's good.
Yeah. I played Gas Arrow Pathfinder, not the explode version. So the gas arrows actually stay on the ground. And it's my favorite build that I played this league, but it obfuscates every single ground effect, which means you're constantly dying to things that you can't see. I'd go back and watch the clip, and I'm like, it looked like I killed myself on my own gas. So I think there's a serious on-death effect problem in PoE 2, and I was really hoping going into this game that it was going to be the opposite, that we were going to find it to be very rare, that we were going to die to the enemies, and you know, the joke is the most dangerous enemy is a dead one, and it feels like it's more the case than ever. So I really hope that they can figure out a way to dial that back, because otherwise it's just PoE 1 but worse, because it's more punishing. You know, you die in a map that you spent an hour lining up the towers and getting all the breaches into one spot. You die in that map to the first pack, that's like, you got to log off.
Yeah, go take a warm shower, okay? Whatever you got to do, just a drink of water, you know, wipe your face with a towel. It's okay. But I totally get that, because I feel that way when I lose like a T10 map. So I can only imagine spending that much time on a map like that and losing it entirely. Now, I think some on-death effects are okay. Like the one guy that explodes, you know, he's great. And I think maybe a part of the problem here is that the pool of rare and magic monster mods is so tiny that almost every single map, actually every single map, we're getting periodic cold explosions, periodic lightning explosions, and all these on-death effects and the like, that maybe if they expand out that pool to include some other stuff, some other interesting new ideas, maybe that's something that they've planned on doing, that it will not feel as bad, because then it won't be so egregious every single time we encounter a rare. Are you under that opinion too? Like maybe that's a solution without needing to remove it from the game. Like it's just adding more variety, right? Like Soul Eater. Like Soul Eater. We want Soul Eater back, right, Arrow?
Sorry, you cut out.
Oh,
Delete them off.
Soul Eater.
Um, I think the problem with death effects right now is that there are 12 different flavors. And it feels like no matter what monster you're fighting, they have a way to kill you after they die. And I don't think that that's like, feels like cheap game design.
Yeah.
I there's so many cool enemies in this game that do different sorts of attacks and spells and windups that you can see coming and you can dodge. But when, you know, things are totally chaotic and there's these little purple balls that are chasing you underneath all the other effects.
Don't get me
started. They all go off. And you're like, I'd have to watch my clip seven times to even see him. It just doesn't feel good. It's not a satisfying way to die. Here's a perfect thing, perfect enemy that I like dying to. The gorilla from act, I don't remember three. Which act he's in now.
Three.
Is act three? Three. Yeah, act yeah. three. You go into the jungle, you hear him coming, and you're like, I know what he's going to do. He's probably going to kill me. But somebody clipped that. That needs to be an emote. You hear him coming. You know what he's going to do. He's a challenging enemy, and he's so satisfying to die to. Because when you mess up, you get punished for it, and that's it. He doesn't explode when he dies.
No.
He's just a good enemy. So more of that, less of the death effects. I think everybody on the planet agrees with that.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of cool, even mobs that might annoy me, I think have cool designs, like the drowned hags from Act 3 and then Act 4 Cruel on the beach that have the drowned orbs from the Eater of Worlds flight. Oh my god.
Very pissing annoying.
Very annoying. They make me change the way I play, and it's like a cool effect. It changes the combat in a way that isn't, I kill something. I'm picking up this divine orb. Poof! You're dead. You lose the divine orb.
They're like crabs that charge up their projectiles and they turn yellow as they're about to fire them. Those are super annoying, but it's a good enemy to fight because I have to be ready when they come on screen to be able to dodge that.
Yes.
And it just, I don't know. It feels better to die to alive enemies to me.
Oh, most definitely. It's good design. And you know what is bad design in the opinions of many? It's the magic find state right now in Path of Exile 2. Now, Arrow, I'm going to link the video in the description of this video. Everybody should go watch it right now. This was posted on November 30th, a whole week before Path of Exile 2 came out. Arrow released a video called Path of Exile 2's Biggest Problem. And he lays out exactly what happened with magic find and increased item rarity and it forcing in a single class meta, essentially, like with the Stormweaver right now and the Deadeye and everybody wearing rarity gear. So, Arrow, I'm kind of curious, are you still anti-Magic Find a month in? I presume you were anti-Magic Find a week before. Are you anti-Magic Find a month in and after seeing what it has done throughout the economy?
So I have been very quiet about Magic Find since the game started because I don't feel like we have enough information to have an educated conversation about what its effects are on gameplay. And every day we see a new Reddit post. Here's how much money I made with Magic Find. Here's how much money I made with Magic Find. Uh-huh. Here's Fubgun throwing a billion mirrors on the ground. You know, the MP video that went viral, it's like a year old video. And everybody thought it was a PoE2. I feel like there's a lot of misconceptions about rarity right now. I don't personally know how much of a problem rarity is right now. My video that I put out before the league started was about how rarity being a catch-all for all sorts of types of loot, whether it's increasing the value of currency, increasing the tiers on a dropped rare, increasing the base on a dropped rare, all of these things being encompassed by one stat means that it's going to be powerful or it's not, it shouldn't even exist.
Right.
It's by necessity powerful because it's the only way that they can scale drops. So it being available, at the time we knew that you could get it on soul cores. And I thought, wow, you can get like 10 soul cores. That's a lot of rarity right there. And then I saw it was on rings. I was like, man, people are going to have access to hundreds of percents of this. This looks like it could be a potential problem if they don't balance it. So basically what I said in the video was, it's very, very important that they get this number right or it's going to cause a lot of problems. Even though the system's cool, giving players rarity on every single gear piece is going to potentially force us to feel like we have to use it. To the people who say, you're not forced, if you're playing in a trade environment, you have to play towards what's valuable. You could say that about anything. You could say, well, I don't have to use a good skill. I don't have to use a good body armor. I could just play all the worst stuff. Mm-hmm. Sure, go ahead.
Right.
So I don't know where we are right now with rarity, and I don't want to give too strong of an opinion on it. I do think, even if it's, you know, soft capped at 100, I've heard that take many times, even if it's soft capped at 100, I still think rarity on gear, on every single piece, is bad for the game, because the game is about making cool builds and taking down enemies with your cool build that you're excited about. And if you turn your, I think there was Palstron who said, if you turn your character into a farming machine, uh-huh. I thought that was a really good take. You're just like, how do I optimize my farming machine? And it's less about how do I make something really cool. So as somebody who likes to make really cool builds in the game, to me, rarity is anti-fun.
Yeah, that was such a measured take, Arrow. I thought you were going to just dunk on everybody, but you took the based approach of being a very measured individual, even though it has just been an absolute uproar in the community the past few days. And you're probably right. We still don't really know the extent to which it's affecting the game and which systems it really does affect and how it scales with certain rare monster modifiers. I know a lot of people are posting research videos, and I have a lot of people that I currently trust in the community that are saying, oh, these research videos are actually bad. We shouldn't trust them. And then there are people who are saying, oh, no, they're actually totally right. It's like scientific method stuff. And it's like, I just need to take a step back because I'm not smart enough for any of this. And I'm just going to let all you geniuses handle this and hopefully reap the rewards. Because right now, I think you touched on it there, in an economy where rarity is so easily available, and it does seem to appear to be, to an extent, kind of strong. Like, it does seem, like, especially with currency, that's just the one place where I've seen it seem to have an effect from all the videos that I've watched. I'm basically priced out of everything. Like, I've interacted with trade twice, and I try to look for an upgrade for my gear. I plug in all my little values, and yes, I made sure that I'm not looking at divines, because divines were weighted as 5 exalt, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I already did that. And I'm nowhere near, you know, outpriced by 20x of the stuff I have. 20 times. Sorry, that could probably be confusing. 20 times. And it's like, well, I'm just going to play pseudo SSF, and that's okay. That's totally fine. But I've never really experienced that in Path of Exile 1. Do you know? I know this is probably a really difficult question. Do you know why that might be? Because I know these same sort of games are played in Path of Exile 1. Like, Affliction is a great example. That was an insane league for Magic Find. But I never really felt like I was affected by it. Is it just because of the way that it's affecting currency in PoE2? Or is there some other thing that might be going on here?
I think it's actually a really simple problem. I think that base loot in Path of Exile 2, meaning a white tier 15 map with no mods of any kind on it, no Atlas trees, nothing, is way less rewarding than a white map with nothing on it in PoE1. It feels like there's a ton of additional quant rarity, etc., that you can get from the trees, from plus one bosses, and you start to stack all of these things up. It really feels like it's a absolute, like, curve to the moon compared to in PoE1, where it felt like you add a little bit at a time and you kind of worked your way up the ladder. Right now, it just feels like a straight up cliff. So the people that are making all this currency, I don't know that they're doing it because of player rarity. I think they're doing it because they've already got all their trees done. They're running fully juiced tier 15s because they don't have to run their bad 15 tier. They don't have to run their bad tier 15s because they have 100. So they only take the ones that have quant rarity on them, and they're just kind of stacking everything together. And that's what looks so crazy. I actually don't think player rarity is nearly as big of a problem as we think, but rarity in its entirety kind of is.
Right. Oh, that's so smart, Arrow. I haven't heard anybody say that. I've listened to quite a few videos, but it does make sense where the people at the top, they have maxed out trees, especially, and they're running the best map. That totally tracks. And, that's a lot to think about. Thank you. I haven't heard anybody talk about it in that way.
Like you were surprised.
I've mostly just heard like delete rarity, or rarity is good for the game. It was good in Diablo 2. And those, that's like the two spectrums, ends of the spectrum that I've heard. You know, so and I've been talking to a lot of people, so I really appreciate hearing about that. That makes a lot of sense, dude. Man, I want to touch on one little thing too, to do with loot, not necessarily magic find. Loot on the ground and loot filter. Jonathan Rogers, again, said the goal of Path of Exile 2 is to not require you to use a loot filter to filter out items, but instead to just highlight items. As a blaster who has been playing T15 maps for a good chunk of time, do you think that that is a success or a fail on their part?
I desperately needed a loot filter on day 2. It was a disaster. I know I left so much stuff behind, because when you have a stack of items that's, you know, most of your screen, you're going to quickly assess it, but you're not going to look at every single thing. I'm sure I left a ton of loot on the ground. Luckily, some people in my community have been very, very helpful when trying to teach me how to make my own loot filter. So they'll be like, here's the core that I'm using, and, you know, give me a few tips on how to edit it myself. So I actually have a very strict filter now, which is probably too strict, and I need to go back and turn some more things on, but it was so chaotic. Yeah. There's so much stuff on the screen. And then of course, all the on-death effects, things are blowing up under the loot that I can't see. So yeah, of course GGG plays their own game, right? But sometimes when they say things like, you're not going to need a loot filter, like, how far did you make it?
My crackpot theory, I know there was a patch on like day 2 or 3. I didn't see endgame before that patch. I think it was really barren. I think that's what people were saying. By the time I got to endgame, dude, boom, everywhere. Oh my God, my first breach. I was like, okay, well, loot filter time, baby. Like, campaign was good. Crew was good. Maps up until league mechanics were good. And now I need a loot filter. So I'm unsure if there was a snap reaction there, you know, where they were like, oh my gosh, people are saying there's no loot. We gotta pump up those numbers. Pumped them up a little bit too much. I don't know. But that's what it feels like
every rare drops 15 items. So
it's a lot.
When that's happening and you've got 4 rares on your screen, it's inevitably going to be chaos. So
yeah, and I will say it here, you know, hopefully this podcast, you know, blows up, as I wish all the podcasts do. They've been doing pretty well. Console players need loot filters. Oh my gosh, I am so, that suck. Come on, we're all praying, okay?
Please help them.
Please help them. I've seen the screenshots. I'm so sorry, you guys. Just play through the campaign a few more times. Hopefully by the time you finish it for the fifth time, you will.
We need to make a commercial with like the Sarah McLachlan playing in the background and just showing console players trying to find loot on their screen. And then they cut to a sad puppy, maybe. Please, GGG, help our friends on GeForce Now and in console.
Yeah, the loot filter situation, it's dire there. And I'm building your own filter. My boss literally today was like, so, you know how to make loot filters in PoE2? And I was like, no, man. You know, but now I can send them to your Twitch channel. Okay, so twitch.tv, twitch.tv/... two underscores, right?
Yeah, and it's a zero as well, just to make it.
It's a zero as well, just so everybody knows. Why the underscores? I think I've heard this story before, but in case anybody hasn't heard it, and if there's not a story and I'm conjuring up this thing in my head, maybe just make up a story, you know, live.
The story is that I made this account a very, very long time ago, and I used to play games under the nickname Arrow. And when I made my Twitch account, I had no plans of streaming, so I didn't think that I needed to have something that was easy to type in or remember. And that's it. That's the whole story. So I unfortunately have 2 underscores at the end of my name.
Oh God.
And, however, I do plan on reaching out to someone at Twitch and see if I could get the original, which appears to be not in use at the moment.
Ooh, have you thought about rebranding your Twitch channel to something like Aeroplane?
Friend of the channel, by the way. I will not be stealing his name.
Oh, dang. Okay. I thought you might go in for that. Yeah, the arrow, I really wonder if that does hurt like SEO on Twitch. I have no idea about the underscore. I can just imagine people searching for Arrow and being like, where the hell is Arrow? I can't find this channel.
When I was just starting streaming, I got raided by Grimro, and he had like 3,000 people. And I think I had 15 or 20 people on my channel at the time. Oh. And he raided the wrong person. And still like 20 or 30 people came and they were like, we're so sorry. He tried to raid you. And it broke my heart. I was so sad. Because Grimro was like, he was the guy that I watched before I started streaming. He was the guy I turned on every day. But that's happened many times.
Oh, that's absolutely hilarious. Dude, Grimro too? What an awesome guy. He was the first person besides King Cat Noodle who commented on like my lore videos. Grimro. Like, I'm like, Grimro, why are you watching a lore video, dude? What's going on? You're interested in the lore?
Like, yes.
That's so awesome. When did you start streaming and why did you start streaming? I'm kind of curious about that.
sorry. So,
you're good.
317, a friend of mine was like, you should make a YouTube video about this stupid build that you're playing. It was Ice Nova cast on crit leap slam. So every time you'd leap slam, it would make an Ice Nova go off. And it was so stupid because it just looked like you hit the ground, big Ice Nova goes off. And I just was like, that sounds like a fun thing to do. I'll learn how to edit video. It'll be a fun little hobby. And it got a couple thousand views. So I thought I should make another video. And it just kind of went from there and people started paying attention. I made a Twitch and here we are.
Leap slam Ice Nova, dude. What is it with you and ice stuff? Like Ice Shot, Ice Nova, all that, like your favorite archetype is like Herald of Ice and Path of Exile 1, one of your favorite abilities.
Freezing cold damage has always been my favorite archetype in kind of any game. And it's I'm no stranger to it in PoE 1 and 2. I don't know, something about the defense aspect of freezing enemies and then the shatters, and I don't know, just always liked it.
Have you been playing Path of Exile 1 and obviously 2 for quite a long time? 317, I mean, what a league to start an Arc Nemesis, start creating content. Arc Nemesis, 2 leagues later, Alondra.
Yeah. Whew,
lovely. How long had you been playing before then?
I started in 2.4, I think. Whoa. At SS League.
Okay.
I was, again, the same friend that convinced me to start making content. Was asking me, he's like, you should play this game. I had a couple of buddies that played it very casually. And I got addicted immediately. I came from like a Counter-Strike Call of Duty background, played a lot of Heroes of New Earth. I still, please don't be upset with me, guys. I still have not played a single Diablo game.
Oh, that's crazy, dude. It's
my first ARPG.
Wow, I want to touch on that. Heroes of New Earth, I saw them like tweet today and people are freaking out about it. Have you seen that yet?
I was freaking out about it as well.
You were? Okay, so you were a big Han player?
Huge.
Oh, wow. Some of the best Han players moved on to Dota 2 and they became my favorite players, like No-Tail, like the Fnatic team, like No-Tail and Fly and all them. Oh, that's cool. Do you think they restart it? Like, I feel like it's been...
Hope so.
Dead for a long time. Weren't they gonna like sell the rights or something? I felt like there was something going on there where some game was going to Billy. Wow. It was a picture of an egg, like a phoenix egg.
Yeah.
Rising from the ashes, man. Oh man.
I'll be screaming that.
Heck yeah. Did you ever try like Dota 2 or League of Legends?
I never tried League. It's just everything that I know about League, I've watched a little bit of the pro scene. It feels a little bit less, I don't know, it just like seems like a lower skill ceiling than Dota and Han. And it just never really grabbed me. I tried Dota, played it for a little bit. It just wasn't the same. It wasn't Heroes of New Earth.
Good on you, bro. Good on you, bro. My wife and I played it a lot. I have a lot of good memories from my childhood playing that game, a lot of late nights. But holy crap. at the end, I mean, people just wanted me to die. Like, these are random people, you know, we're just playing a game. Death threats. It's like, you think content creation death threats are bad. Dude, I'm playing a game and I miss a few last hits. So they're like, you need to die right now. It's crazy.
If you want to see me at my worst, watch me play Heroes of New Earth.
Oh, no, not you, Arrow. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, we'll mark our calendars whenever it comes out. This, whatever this is, it must be something. Like, they wouldn't just tweet that unless, you know, some troll got a hold of the account and was like, oh, I'm about to make a whole bunch of people really happy and then crush their dreams the next day or something.
I hope not.
Yeah, let's hope not. Someone in the chat, I think this must be a longtime viewer of yours, is telling me to ask you about a tattoo on your hand. Are you comfortable showing a tattoo on your hand or arm and telling the story of it?
Oh, I don't have a tattoo on my hand. I have a tattoo on my arm.
On your arm. Yeah, I didn't think you had one on your hand. I remember seeing your hands in L.A. Holy crap.
This is a void battery, which unfortunately won't make it into PoE2. But I did a subathon last year. And, you know, the little secret was I wanted a tattoo all along. I thought a PoE tattoo would be really cool. So I was like, all right, if we get to some crazy number that we'll never hit, I'll get a PoE tattoo. And, of course, we hit it. And I decided I wanted to get a void battery. I kind of talked to Chad about different ideas. Like, what is me? I'm always stacking power charges. So I took the art to a tattoo artist that I really trusted, and he fell in love with the art. He had never played the game before, but he's like, this is gorgeous. I have all these plans. It was supposed to be this big. And he's like, do you mind if I like redesign it a little bit, like kind of make it a little bit bigger? And now it's my whole upper arm, but I love it. It's actually my favorite tattoo.
Dude, he did such a good job. It looks great.
Yeah. It's like photorealistic. It's crazy.
Wow, that's awesome. Is your favorite Path of Exile 1 build? Is it that one that kickstarted your YouTube Twitch thing? Or do you have another build that you've created that is your favorite amongst all your time playing the game? I know you do quite a few every league, and there's a lot of off-meta stuff thrown in there. Is there any one that sticks out in particular?
Yeah, it's Hydrosphere. Hydrosphere is, I think, one of the coolest skills to play. And it's, I really, really try to lean in on fun when I play PoE. I don't need to make the most money. I used to be a Shackles of the Wretched, Calm's Roots blaster. And I did that for like 4 years. I don't need to make the most money anymore. I just like to have fun. And the most fun skill I've ever played is Hydrosphere. The kinetic feel of throwing this huge ball of ice around it's really hard to match. And every single person that ever took it to endgame would reach out to me and say, I can't believe I didn't know about this. This is the most fun build I've ever played. And for me, there's no better compliment. So I don't want to say I discovered Hydrosphere, but I don't know of anybody else who was really playing it. And it was unfortunately put to bed by GGG. I think it caught kind of like unintended nerfs from the Vortex change. So couldn't freeze it, but I did play it again last league and kind of revitalized it a little bit. But yeah, it's easily my favorite build of all time.
Oh, awesome. Well, hopefully there's some skills that kind of replicate that same sort of atmosphere in Path of Exile 2. Some of the skills in the game are pretty funky right now, and they do hold some odd areas of design. And I feel like with the remaining classes, that's just going to expand more and more and more. Like, is there any one thing that you might be looking forward to in PoE2, like a skill or archetype or even just a class or ascendancy that's still yet to come?
I could be like everybody else and just say I'm excited about Huntress, which I am, but that's not very
I don't hear that a lot, bro, especially because you haven't played Diablo 2. So how can you be excited about the Javelin Girl if you haven't played her? You haven't played the Amazon in D2, dude.
Because I think it was Ice Spear. I saw the gem and I was like, yep, that's happening. but I think what I'm really excited about is when we have 24 more classes and ascendancy classes and you know, 100 more skills and 100 more support skills. And I really get to play in the sandbox for real. Right now, I feel like I'm in a very, very small sandbox with a lot of people. and everybody's trying to play with the same cup of sand. And I'm probably taking this metaphor way too far, but it's it's just I feel like there's so much that we're going to be able to discover when we have access to everything that they have planned. And that's what I'm the most excited for, just to find cool interactions. And hopefully they buff uniques. Please buff uniques. GGG, please buff them.
Yeah, well, that's really funny that we're gonna wrap it up with what I wanted to start the chat with, actually. So Grinding Gear Games, actually, while we were chatting, they sent out a tweet, Arrow. Now, the tweet doesn't have anything big in it. It's just, we're back. This week, we'll be focusing on hotfixing various bugs in Path of Exile 2. We're also working on a restart patch that we hope to release as soon as it's ready. Path of Exile 2's early access released a month ago, and we can't thank you enough for your support. And then they clarified, by restart patch, they don't mean new season or league reset. Right. They mean restarting the realm. So they clarified. So, given that little message from Grinding Gear Games, what do you think? I'll give you a top three. Out of everything in the game, I'm talking, you know, bugs or end game, whatever. I guess we can discount bugs because that's kind of like, okay, fix the freaking bugs. Top three things that you think Grinding Gear Games should begin working on. Because Mark Roberts, he said, we don't have a roadmap because we want you, the community, to determine our road forward based on what you are seeing in early access. So if you were able to provide, you know, your feedback to Grinding Gear Games and you could say, here are the first three things I want you to address. What would those be, Arrow? It's a big question. Don't piss off too many people here, okay? All right.
I won't. Number one, just give us a waystone dash tab, map tab, whatever you want to call it. Just please, just whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I've got quad tabs and quad tabs of them. I feel like that's going to be a simple one. They're going to be able to come through pretty quickly. But my real number one is, please don't be afraid to aggressively rebalance the game. Don't be afraid to say, you know what? Archmage is too strong. We're going to just turn the numbers down. And you know what? Next week, we might turn them down again. Don't come in and go, well, we have to wait 3 months and then we're going to nerf it three different ways and then no one's ever going to play it again. Aggressively balance, try to get things right and move things around. It's early access. You're not going to offend us. And the people that are upset about changes, they're going to be upset about something. So just try to find ways to make all the skills useful so we can actually test them. Yep. No one's playing Blood Mage right now because it sucks. I mean, there's a couple of ways to play it, but it was my league starter. And Grimrow put out a video 2 weeks in of him farming the end game unascended because Blood Mage was so bad. Don't be afraid to just tweak numbers, change things around. Of course, fix bugs, but change things around and try to make it so that this game is playable and truly testable of in every aspect. And then after that, my number three is definitely uniques are really, really bad. They're uninteresting because the ones that have cool build enabling mods are on the worst base in the game. Mm-hmm. And cool, you can put it on at level 16. But you're never going to wear it at level 90 because it has 12 armor and 6 energy shield.
Yeah.
You're just not going to wear it. The defenses are too important, and it's basically made it so there's only a couple of useful uniques. I think that's very antithetical to the feel of PoE with build enabling, build designing uniques. So please buff those, put them on better bases, and give us incentive to use them.
I think all three of those changes are great. I think they're all W's. I think people will find a few problems in point number two because a lot of people... 48% the top 1,000, and I'm sure a probably proportional number of players in the endgame are currently on Stormweaver. Oh my god. Oh my... The day. I mean, it's going to be an apocalypse when Archmage is nerfed, dude. I can't. I'm muting Reddit, all right? Twitter, gone. YouTube comments, probably going to turn those off too. Just like, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. Point number three, something I want to talk about a little bit, man. I found a lot of uniques. I think I've only equipped Wanderlust. Nothing else has like worked in my build, any of my characters. Just, which kind of is upsetting. I've probably found like 30, 35. I haven't been able to make anything work. Have you found any uniques that you've been able to slot in one of the few characters that you've leveled throughout the game and into end game?
So there's a very cool unique
Okay.
that I put onto my Blood Mage. After I left the Blood Mage, I played a couple of other characters. It's like level 78 or something. I go back to it. It's a chest that allows you to leech overflow life. Very cool.
Ooh.
So you have overflow life on Blood Mage from picking up the little orbs, and you can also leech. And then you get spell leech. You can enhance your leech by getting leech effect. So I was very excited. Put this build together. It's going to be a blasphemy despair hex blast build. And I'm going to scale my damage based on my life because I'm going to get a ton of life. I've got the Burden of Truth staff, I think, which gives you damage for the life that you spend. It's this very cool idea. I get in game, I put all the gear on, I spend like 15 divines getting gear on, and that chest that gives you life overflow leech, when you get to max overflow, it shuts off all your auras, including your blasphemy curse. So hex blast no longer functions, and you have to manually turn it back on. So that's what I'm really excited about, but it's been bugged since the start of
It'll be
the game.
fixed. It'll be fixed. It's okay. It's early access. It's early access. It's totally not intended. Not intended. Okay. That does sound pretty cool though. I like that. I have seen that chest. I feel like my friend, he quit the game. Rip. He leveled the Blood Mage first. He didn't know it was bugged. He never played PoE1. Like I think he got to freaking, I don't know, Bear Graves and PoE1, bounced. Loved Diablo 4. Came into PoE2, had a loved the campaign and everything, got to end game, and he was a blood mage, and I guess his leech just stopped working or something.
It didn't work at all.
Oh, it just never works.
Yeah, I did a lot of testing on it. Leech just didn't work until like 2 weeks
Oh.
in when they added some leech back. They buffed it. I think it was leeching so little that it wasn't even registering leech on a lot of hits. It was just doing zero.
Oh, well, maybe if they fixed it, because he got to like T5 maps and he apparently he thinks that the leech resistance was so high that his character just no longer could, and he got like basic, he lost all his waystones and he could only buy stuff from Doriani and he quit the game. And I was like, dang it, stuff like that sucks. But it's also like it is early access and I'm like, yeah, man, just come back and the next reset, they'll probably fix a lot of this stuff. Like, you really like the game, don't let it rub you the wrong way. And that's, I wanted to close out the chat with posing you a question that I've kind of been inspired by Sir Gog, a fellow content creator, you know, the reporter extraordinaire. I chatted with
Absolutely.
him a few days ago. And he said something that was very fascinating that in the moment I didn't really push back on. I don't like to push back a lot in these chats. I just like to talk with you guys and be really chill. But it really
Mr.
made me,
Softball.
oh, it really made me think. He said, level 1 through 60 is a 10 out of 10. 60 to 80 is a 7 out of 10. And the 80 plus experience is so bad that he wouldn't recommend new players begin Path of Exile 2 right now at all until Magic Find is fixed in the game. My question to you, Arrow, is, would you recommend Path of Exile 2 to new players right now? And why or why not?
I guess it depends on the kind of person they are. I think
Okay.
if you're someone who's interested in a serious challenge, then yes. But I would not necessarily recommend it to a very casual player who is going to be put off by something like Leech is not working properly. For me, solving problems is part of the game, part of the thing that makes it fun, but that is not fun for everybody. And I understand that. So if you're looking for a challenge, there is plenty to be had. But if you're not, maybe give it some time.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I agree with you. And I think the part that Sir Gog was trying to get at there is the fact that the first set of the game too is very enjoyable. And people will probably be loving it. You know, we can see that by the Steam player numbers. Holy crap. Still 300,000 peak concurrent users every day since launch. That's crazy. That's still highest than the peak of Path of Exile 1. Higher than the peak of Path of Exile 1 ever. But then if they get to the end game, I wonder if like it'll leave such a sour taste in their mouth that they'll never come back. Like, I know people who've done that with, like, Diablo 4 or Last Epoch. That would really, really suck because this game is so good. And I think it's going to become so much better in the course of 6 to 12 months that it will almost be, I don't want to say unrecognizable, but just there's going to be so many improvements, so many new things added that it's going to be a completely new game. And I'd really hate for a lot of my friends who honestly wrote off Path of Exile 1 after trying it once and they never tried it again. Like, I'm one of the only people in my friend group who plays PoE 1. I really hate for that to happen with Path of Exile 2 when this is supposed to be that fresh start. And it is, I think, an excellent foundation, and so many parts of the game are really good. And I know you said you had a lot of friends who were playing casually Path of Exile 1 back in the day when you became a blaster. Have any of them continued to play PoE? Are any of them playing PoE 2? And do you kind of share that sentiment where you want them to continue playing? Like, it's cool when people you know in real life are playing the game and enjoying it, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately for me, most people that I talk to, they go, what game do you stream? And I say Path of Exile. And they go, what? And I go, have you heard of Diablo? They go, yeah. And I go, it's like that.
Dang it.
But I have a couple of friends that play.
Oh, that's awesome.
They're blasters too.
Did they try Path of Exile too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Good. Well, I'm glad. I got to get my friends into the blaster camp, or at least just playing the game camp, you know? Because Errol, would you consider me a blaster?
I think that you call yourself a casual more than any casual has ever done before. I don't know if you're exactly a casual player. I think you're just so afraid of, like, stepping on blaster toes. You're definitely a committed Path of Exile player, and don't be afraid to say it.
I'm the only casual that likes to get 36 or 40 challenges every league. I guess I think the most I've ever blasted was, like, Affliction when I had Cleave of Rage, dude. Oh my god. That's my favorite build of all time. Oh my god. Did you play that in the busted state? Arrow, man, you missed that. It was the entire screen. It was the only time I wanted to screen wide.
I had to play something else.
Ah, dang it. Okay, well, you need to play Cleave of Rage now because it ain't meta. Okay, it's not.
Well, it will be when I'm done with it.
Okay. All right, 3.26. Which, by the way, are you looking forward to 3.26?
Yes. I think that, like I said earlier, I'm kind of running into a lot of walls with PoE 1. So if we don't get any more content between now and then, I will be very ready for a new PoE 1 league. I just love PoE, man. It's such a good game. PoE 1 and 2, I enjoy them so much. I feel very, very lucky, very blessed to be able to play these games for a living. And the fact that I get to wake up and think about my build is incredible. So I'm very, very excited to get back to PoE 1 as well.
100%, man. And I'm lucky and blessed that I got to sit here and chat with you for an hour this fine Monday night, Errol. Thank you so much for coming on the stream. Everybody watching, make sure you go check out Arrow's YouTube channel. It's Arrow, no underscores in your YouTube channel name, right?
Yeah, it's just at AER0 on YouTube. Sorry.
No, there you go. But then the Twitch channel, Arrow with a zero, underscore, underscore. Dude, thank you so much for hopping on. I really appreciate it. Do you have any last words about PoE2? No,
this was great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I love to see how good you're doing. This podcast series is really, really cool. And the fact that I got to be a part of it's great.
Thanks, man. We'll chat later. See ya.
Take care.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks, Arrow. I really appreciate it, man.
Cheers, bud. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was. It was the first standing desk one.
Let me just quickly give you I know you people call you the glaze master. Let me glaze you a little bit. You are so phenomenal at these interviews. We basically had no prep at all, and you keep it going. You keep the questions flowing. You're crushing this, man. I'm so happy, so happy for you.
No, don't. You can't glaze me, man. I get too much of that. I can't. You guys, thank you for not doing that during the thing, because I would have gotten so red, okay? No, but the thing is, man, that was so easy and natural. Like, I mean, you fed me everything. I could literally just, when you ended something, I was like, oh, shit, he's leading me along to the next question. It's perfect. And yeah, guys, we didn't do any prep. I sent him, like, a few notes. I think we touched on three of the notes. That's it. Okay.
Well, I do talk for a living, so that helps.
That does help. That's true. That's good. That was really fun. We'll have to do this again too, okay, man? Once there's some more stuff. Maybe we can even try